So we celebrate Saint James the Greater. In the Philippines, he's known as Saint James the Great because there's a parish there called Saint James the Great, which is a little bit ironic because in this gospel, Jesus speaks about greatness and about greatness is not being great. Greatness is service. But anyway, I want to start with thanksgiving to God, a word of thanksgiving to God for my, I don't know what to call it. I guess I'm from recovery. I've been drinking the cup or drinking the chalice, and I feel like I'm still drinking it, so I'm still quite weak. In fact, this vestment, which is a very nice vestment for a feast night, that's really heavy. And because I don't have any energy, I have energy now, but I don't have any strength. I really feel the weight of it. Anyway, now this mess isn't about me, and it's not about us. It's not even about St. James. It's about God. It's about worship of God. But I want to share a few thoughts from my experience that are connected to St. James, and I hope will also be of value to you. That is part of my job here. But my brain is not really working normally. In fact, it wasn't working at all for a couple of days, three, 4 days. It's really amazing how it shuts down. I wasn't living, you know, with fear, anxiety, with concern about dying or anything. I wasn't thinking about anything. I just was like like a zombie. So I may not be able to put this together in a clear sense, but let me try. Because I think it's very beautiful to reflect on what God is doing when we're not doing anything, or when we feel like we can't do anything. God is still doing great things. Talk about greatness. Great, God is the great one, not any of us, not even our greatest saints. Well, let me say, first of all, you might be wondering why I'm even here talking to you, and you might be wondering why you're here. I mean, I just had COVID a couple of days ago, and you might be concerned about the COVID world, although I've discovered here in the States that pretty much nobody cares about COVID at all. I was in the emergency room on Friday. I didn't know I had COVID at the time, but by the way, I was brought there because of dehydration, not because of COVID. So I was severely dehydrated. Back in the day when people used to talk about comorbidities, so I had this comorbidity that was my diabetes, and because of the COVID, which I didn't know I had, my diabetes went out of control. So because of the diabetes, I got dehydrated, and because I couldn't swallow anything because of my sore throat, I got dehydrated. So I ended up in the hospital and in the ER. And nobody there is wearing a mask. Nobody, even in the emergency room. So I wasn't either. And then they discover I had COVID, and they said, "Oh, you had COVID. We haven't seen one of you in a while." Like I was like a caterpillar out of season or something. And so then they put on masks, but they didn't care at all that I was a COVID patient in the middle of their institution. And so that, I think, was encouraging, and it's a good sign to everybody. So I hope that you can take on that mentality that I'm not considered contagious now. I was allowed to travel. And so even though I had COVID 2 days ago, officially now I don't have it, even though I'm obviously still sick and I'm recovering, it doesn't seem to make any difference to anybody. Okay. So that's that. Now, let me say a word about the liturgy. One, I've said this about liturgy in relation to travel before, but now I see it in relation to illness. The great thing about following the liturgy is that when you get off track, the liturgy doesn't get off track. When you lose your way or you lose your mind, the liturgy keeps going. So I noticed that on Saturday there was a feast day of Mary Magdalene. I was completely out of it on Saturday. In fact, by that time I had COVID and I wasn't allowed to offer Mass, so I was in isolation. And so I completely missed that feast day. Well, now here's another feast day. And I can pick up where, I don't have to go back and just pick up where the church is, join the party. It's still going on, or join the procession, I should say. It's still going on. And that's a very beautiful thing to be able to do. So if anyone finds himself or herself not knowing where you are, or you know what, you know what's happening. Well, the liturgy, the church, you might not be praying, but the church is still praying. I find that very encouraging. You know, you might not be pondering, but the church is still pondering. And so when we wake up and realize, you know, we've lost 5 days of our lives, say, well, okay, start again, start right again. So thanks be to God for that. Now, let me share a little bit about my thoughts on St. James, because I'm connecting it to my own experience. St. James, remember, is one of the big three, Peter, James, and John. And because this is how we think, well, the big three are the ones who should do the most, and they should live the longest, and they should accomplish more. They shouldn't be the first ones to die. If, you know, if you were going to choose one of the apostles to die first, well, you pick Judas Iscariot, of course. But after Judas Iscariot, say, well, you know, Bartholomew or somebody, or, you know, some, you know, someone who's not that important. But you wouldn't pick James, son of Zebedee, because he's a big deal, and he's had personal experience with Jesus in some of the most crucial moments of his ministry. You know, of course, Peter couldn't die because he had a lot more to do, and that was God's plan for him. John didn't die until the end of the apostolic age. I mean, he was the last. So you would think that James would also be one of the last, like Peter and John. But no, he's the first. Which reminds us that our way of thinking is not God's way of thinking. You know, God's ways are not our ways. And God does things, you know, with a perspective that is above ours. Let me try to make this connection. See, I just arrived in the United States, what, just over a week ago. We just arrived. And I have a lot of things to do here. It's a very important visit. I'm only coming to the United States once this year. And, you know, I might as well say it. You know, I'm full of self-importance. I think I have to do a lot of things. And one of the important things was our district meeting or regional meeting on scheduled for Sunday, scheduled months in advance. And people made sacrifices to be present to it. And I think that is an important thing to do. That's one of the things I do when I come into the country is have a meet with the community, regional meetings, and we, you know, refocus and regroup and talk about our community life. And well, so that was important. That was an important thing to do. Well, God obviously didn't think it was that important. I mean, and he's right and we're wrong. So we can't know that until God intervenes and shows us what he thinks is important. So I'm comparing this to James. The apostles, after Pentecost, they were important. I mean, they were the only ones who were commissioned to spread the gospel. And there's only 11 of them. So and then they picked up on Matthias, so there's 12. Okay, there's 12. But you don't want to lose them. And so they start doing their mission, and James is one of the important ones. According to the tradition, he made it all the way to Spain, you know, Santiago de Compostela. But so he's just somebody that you would say he's important to keep in action. And God himself kept the apostles in action. Remember, he rescued them from prison more than once. He got them miraculously out of trouble enough times. He could easily have gotten James out of jail, out of the hands of Herod, but he didn't. So it obviously wasn't that important. He wasn't that important. James the Great, the greater, is not that important. What's important is the will of God. And God planned from all eternity that James' life would end in the year 40, some people say 42, some people say 44. So about 10 years after Jesus, and maybe way before the other apostles were killed. Today I was supposed to have a meeting with the Corning District. Another big, important meeting. Nope, it's not going to happen today. Tomorrow I was supposed to meet with our new treasurer, which is important. I still think it's important, and I'm trying to reschedule it. But God didn't think that was so important to do it tomorrow. And I have to accept that. In fact, I have to accept I'm not important. I'm not that important. The will of God is important. And this is what I am taking away from this feast day. In fact, you notice this in the scriptures. There is an account in the scriptures of James' martyrdom. It's not one of the readings today. You notice that? That's not the chosen reading. So, as if to say, well, okay, yeah. Martyrdom is really important. It's really a witness of a person's total dedication to God. But for this feast day, we're not focused just on James the man. We're focused on the will of God unfolding through the life of the church. So notice this first reading. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Which is, there's no mention of James, but there is a mention of the way of the Christian life. In fact, it's a very profound passage, one of the favorites of Father Francis. I think probably you recognize it as the I Die, You Live passage. You know this passage, I Die, You Live. And it puts in our face this contradictory central paradox of the gospel. I die, you live. Well, we think dying is a bad thing because it prevents us from doing all the important stuff we're supposed to do, including the will of God. We're supposed to do the will of God. And if we're dying, well, we can't do it. Nope, that's not true. We can do the will of God by dying. We can do the will of God by being sick. We can give glory to God by doing nothing, if that's what he wants us to do. St. James the Greater gave greater glory to God by being arrested and beheaded than he would have, than the glory he would have given to God if he had traveled all around the world working miracles. So how can we judge what's important? We can't really. You see, this is why it's a humbling experience to be sick, or it's a humbling experience to place ourselves under the authority of God, because we have to recognize we don't really know a lot of things. We can't be the one to establish importance. We do have to, don't get me wrong, we do have to make plans, and we do have to have priorities, and we have important meetings. I understand you have a meeting today. In fact, if I weren't here, it would be a meeting, but I interrupted your plans too. So, but my point is, you know, what we learn from St. James, and what I'm learning from having COVID, is that there's this relativizing of what's important or what's great. God is great. God is important. God's will is great. His plan is great, and that's what's important. And everything else is relative to that. So here in this reading, I'll try to finish up my thoughts here. Paul says, okay, we hold this treasure in earthen vessels. I love that. The treasure, which is what's important, not the vessels, including St. James, including Father Daniel, including everybody. You know, we're just earthen vessels. The surpassing power may be of God, not from us. So obvious. It's so obvious when you have COVID, like, can't do anything. We are afflicted in every way, but not constrained, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, like all these contrasts. We would think that being perplexed or being persecuted or being struck down or carrying about in our body the dying of Jesus, we would think that would be a bad thing because it's getting in the way of what's important. And Paul is saying, no, that's exactly the wrong way of thinking. The right way of thinking is that even in those occasions of perplexity and contradiction and persecution, even in those moments, God's will is unfolding. God is still great. So It's not such a terrible thing to be constantly given up to death for the sake of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh, in our earthen vessel. So St. James learned this. I guess he learned it faster than everybody else. And he wants us to learn it as well. Certainly I'm still a student. So thanks be to God for those lessons. I suppose there's other things we could, lots of things we could learn. But let me pause, stop here with gratitude to God for his faithfulness, his mercy, his greatness.